Today on Piano Jazz, my guest is pianist Hart O'Brien, whose style is pure bebop with his own special touches, gleaned from such players as Barry Harris and Dave McKenna. He remains faithful to the bop tradition, and I just love it. How are you, Hart?
I'm fine. It's great to be here. I've been a fan of yours since 1953 when I first heard you play at the Hickory House.
Oh,
I was 17 years old, first times coming to New York to hear all my heroes, you know. I used to go hear Billy Taylor at the Downbeat then, and because of Birdland, and listen to Bud Powell. And those were my major rounds in those years.
And so I was at the Hickory House, and you were all of 17?
Yeah.
It's funny. I used to grumble about being in the Hickory House when I said I was jealous of Barbara Carroll because she was over at the Embers.
Oh.
Much nicer room. And, you know, the Hickory House, they had sawdust on the floor, and I thought that wasn't too proper for a jazz trio.
Uh-huh.
But we made it for 10 years, so it must have been all right.
It was a pretty good hang, though, wasn't it? I mean, a lot of the musicians would always be coming in there one time or another during the day or the night.
Oh, we did have a lot of people would come and sit in. Bucky Pizzarelli would always come and sit in. And Duke Ellington had his dinner there every night because his press agent was also the press agent for the Hickory House. So Duke was a regular. And then people like Oscar Peterson and Duke would sit in. That I would have had you sit in if I'd known you in those days.
I don't think so. I was wet behind the ears and just starting to, you know, I was playing a little bit, but I had a lot more learning to do.
Well, how did you get started? I mean, with your family, did you play at home?
I got started at about 8 years old. I heard Boogie Woogie then, and it just totally astounded me. And I locked right into it, and I said, I had to have that. And I was playing a little bit because my mother got me started just fiddling around, playing with one finger and stuff. Couldn't play chords yet or anything. But when I heard Boogie Woogie, I let everybody know I needed to find out how to play it. So my mother started. She took me to a piano teacher, actually, at the little school that I was going to, elementary school at the time. And the teacher, I walked in and to my first lesson, and the student before me was also playing some Boogie Woogie. And I told my teacher, that's what I want to do. And she said, okay, well, I'll make a deal with you. I'll let you do some learning Boogie Woogie if you learn scales and the usual stuff that you all learn when you start out playing.
That was pretty clever of her to get the classical end of things going and teach you about Boogie Woogie at the same time.
Yeah, well, she got some sheet music on it, and so I learned the sheet music way, but I had also, my parents had a friend, had some friends who had a son that was a few years older than me, who could actually improvise it and play it. And he'd come over to the house, and when he did that, you know, that's really what got me started. Because he would show me the tricks he was doing, you know, and I remember learning this one. That one. And I just did that for like 2 years before I learned anything else, you know.
Well, then when did you decide you were going to go into the music business, or you were going to go out and play professionally?
Well, that was not until I was about 18 or so. I kind of took lessons on and off from the ages of 8 till about 18. And all those years, I learned more of sophisticated forms of jazz music and, you know, a lot of Dixieland and swing music in that time, that period, I was hearing and kind of worked in that style for a while, and I finally heard bebop and jazz at the Phil when I was about 15 years old.
Oh, my goodness. That must have got you going.
That turned me around, yeah. That's where I really got into where I
stayed
until
today. And you played with all these different people. Name some of those great musicians that you played with.
I had the great experience to have played with Oscar Pettiford when it was my first major gig after about a year in New York, yeah. And his quintet, we had in the first wave of the quintet, he had Red Rodney on it for a while, and then later Johnny Coles on trumpet. Sahib Shahab was in the played baritone and alto, and the drummer was named Buster Smith. His real name is Earl Buster Smith, but they called him Buster.
So you got right into it.
Right into it, yeah.
That was a good thing.
It was easier in those days, I think, for people to get heard and known and whatnot, because, you know, it was kind of an open scene with the lofts, the jam sessions.
Oh, the loft scene,
places where you could go and play. And so a lot of us got discovered, quote unquote, you know, in lofts, and because some of the working musicians would come by after the gigs and play and jam, and you could, you know, be heard.
I love hearing all your reminiscences, but do play a tune.
Okay.
Especially, I'm impressed. You wrote a tune for me.
Yes, I did. I thought about it. It just kind of occurred to me in the car yesterday driving up here. A riff started going through my head, and I just kind of kept going with it until I got to the end. And I said, well, maybe I should play this on Marion's show tomorrow. And then I said, well, what am I going to call it? And I said, well, then I started thinking of a word that rhymed with Marion, and I thought of clarion for Marion.
I think that's fantastic. I can't wait to hear it.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll give it a shot.
Something I find sort of interesting, how long you worked as a musician and then you suddenly decided to take off and study at Columbia?
Yeah.
Math?
Yeah.
Why did you do that?
Well, I got interested in doing mathematics because it was a fascinating subject. And when I started college after high school, I didn't complete it. I went to Oberlin for about 3 months, and then I had an illness that occurred right around then that I needed to go to a hospital for a while, and then I went back to school in New York in 1956 when I first moved there at Manhattan Music School, and then I didn't complete that either because I got interested in just playing with the bands and wanted to just play and didn't want to study. Along came around 1963. I was things were kind of slowing down. Actually, I was getting more into playing with my own trio. I started working at the Five Spot and Jazz Gallery. The Termini brothers owned both of those clubs, and they were kind of in my corner.
And you played at the Cork and Bib.
And I played at the Cork and Bib.
My goodness! Now we are going back a ways.
That's right. Yeah. I played intermission solo piano there, and I got to hear all the big name groups.
That was a great club.
It was, yeah.
But yeah. So how long did you study math?
Well, I studied for 2 or 3 years at Columbia, and I started off well, and then I kind of got it got very deep and involved and over my head. And the subject, even though it still is a fascinating one to me, I couldn't understand a lot of it. I couldn't really grasp it that well. So I switched my major to psychology to get a degree and just for the sake
Amazing.
Of getting a college degree. And I didn't pan out as a mathematician. And I should have spent those years, I think, staying in the music business because I lost a little momentum by dropping out for 10 years.
Well, you soon got it back, obviously.
Well, yeah, I kind of got into it much more seriously.
Well, let's think about a tune we could play as a duet, like some Duke Ellington tune, Do Nothing Till You Hear From Me.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah, let's wail.
What key is it in?
F, okay.
Okay. To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.npr.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.